Now we are a peculiar creation. And it says that we are a peculiar people. But just within itself, we are peculiar. And I have a Bible dictionary that I picked up some time ago. And as I read it, you know, there are certain things, whoever's behind it has certain things that he believes, or she or them or whoever, I don't know who wrote it. And the thing is, if we get a mindset, see, the devil is a deceiver. So he can put a deception inside of us, and if we get a mindset, I don't know how it works, but it appears that the Lord will let us be deceived if we want to be. Mm-hmm. And we can have a deception, and we can prove it in the Scriptures. How many deceptions do people have that they prove in the Scriptures? Well, anyway, in this Bible dictionary, and of course there's a few things, key things that I look up, all, you know, which you would too probably, but I looked up about the Trinity because I saw a number of years ago, which didn't set well with everybody that heard, you know, what I had to say about it, but I saw where the Trinity was introduced some 200 years after Christ. And so the fact that it was introduced, that it was not something that was taught by the disciples, is not a problem to most of the Trinitarians. And I told Charlie about something I just read this morning about the phenomenal, unbelievable way that the disciples of the first church worked the Trinity into the Scriptures without being offensive to the Jews who believed in one God. It was a miracle the way they did it. Supernatural miracle. An awesome thing. And that's what he went on to say. And then admitted that there's not any, the name of it in the Scriptures, there's not really any Scriptures that support it. And anyway, as I read it, and then I made the mistake of looking up tongues. And that is equal to the Trinity. You know what I mean? He's come to the conclusion that tongues are not dangerous, but they could be of the devil. But they're not a modern-day thing. But if people are comfortable with it, and that's what they feel better by doing it, then there's no reason not to. And it's like, where are the Scriptures? This is all logic, all reasoning. And here we are. See, there's a way to approach the things of God, and there's ways not to. One of them is don't form conclusions and then take God's word to prove it. Right. That's why the Bible says, except and unless you become converted and become as a little child. Unless you do that, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says. You have to approach it God's way. And the thing that I began to realize, you know, some time ago, was that I'm not any match for the devil. I'm not any match mentally with the Word of God, with the things that God had. I'm not a match for it. And so what I need help desperately. And when we know we need help, we're on the right road. When we think that we got the ability to figure it out and do it our own way, we're in trouble. And but you know what? If you agree with what I'm saying here, you're an exception. Because most people have the confidence in their own ability, so they are positive. Tim and I were just talking about our Bible answer stand that we used to have. or the fact that people, they love to argue the scriptures. When people argue the scriptures, they are having confidence in their own mental ability. And that's what we had. We had the Bible Answer stand up at the fairground one year. And, you know, it sounds good. The problem is, we weren't so much, but the chapel in Seattle was full of these young brainies. You know what I mean? They were full of their own intelligence and their own. They were positive that what they knew, they knew everything that was right, and so they would go downtown Seattle, and it ended up to be an argument. It wasn't answering questions and talk. I mean, people would love to come and argue, and the fellow that told Cliff Bish about the messages that were here and what was happening. And he passed away since, but he was a Bible Answer Stand man from the chapel originally, and he had some kind of a disease, and he finally died from it. But he showed us all of his things, the presentations, and how he did it, and this great wisdom. And this was before I had any real understanding that he had a problem with it, you know. And the way that all of these things and the arguments that he had, and how positive they were, and how sound they were, and how scriptural they were, and whatever else, and that's good. This is quite a few years ago, and now I look back at it and I think, you know what? God hides the things from the wise and the prudent, and reveals them to babes and sucklings. And you know what the next verse or sentence says? For it seems good in God's sight to do it that way. God's thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. I don't have the ability to understand the things of God. So why do we listen and listen and listen to God's Word? Why do we keep taking the Word of God in? Do you know why? And this took me a long time to begin to understand. Do you know what we are hearing, especially in the Gospels, but in the New Testament, all the way through it? We are hearing the thoughts and the ways of God through Jesus Christ and the early disciples. So what do we do? Why do we keep listening to the Word? Because slowly, God's thoughts and God's ways become our thoughts and our ways, and that's why it says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of His divine nature. The nature of God is in this Word. But if we decide we know, have the answers, and we are the experts on this thing, we lose it. We miss it. God hides things. He brings foolish things to confound the wise. Because that's the way it is. And you know what? I'm no match for the Word of God. Not a chance. I'm no match for it. I have learned. That's why people tremble at it. That's why God looks towards those who tremble at it, because they know I'm not a match. This thing is so far superior to me that I don't even stand a chance. I need help. So God says, here's what you do. Let my Spirit teach you. Let my Spirit teach you, but you don't see Him. How do you get the Spirit involved? It's a thing that the Bible calls faith, which comes by the hearing of God's Word. So you hear the Word, and pretty soon the Spirit begins to get involved. I am aware of the fact, I tell Joanne repeatedly, I said, I don't know where that thought came from. We'll sit sometime, both of us, we'll sit and we'll cry over a revelation, something that starts to come out of the scripture. And I said, I have no idea. I can't see whoever is telling me this. And you're noticing the same thing. You can't see them. But the Spirit of God is beginning to reveal things to you by the Spirit. And I mean, the Holy Spirit revealing things to you, and you can't see them. And this is where people make the mistake. If I can't see it, I get, you know, I'm from Missouri. I have to see it to believe. You know what I mean? Anyways.
Speaking of by faith, I was reading in Hebrews this morning. And in chapter 11, it talks about the word by faith. And it's in there maybe 15, 16, 17 times, the word by faith. And it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gift and through faith, though he was dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he could not see death, or would not see death. He was not found because God took him, for he obtained the witness that before him being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And if you read the whole chapter, there's a lot of things in there about faith.
Yes. Amen.
That was good, Glenn. And I was thinking that in that chapter, you know, Paul is kind of defining faith, but he's not. Some he puts it into words, you know, but mostly it is defined by actions. That these actions, that these are kind of like examples of faith, and when you get all those examples put together, it kind of creates a definition or a demonstration of what faith is. And you know, you can't come up with a nice nifty definition of the thing. All you can do is know it when you see it, or know it when you do it, or you know, the way the old time Pentecostals said, it was better felt than telt, you know. But now you start defining these things, groping for the right words, and that's what the Bible Answer Stand Man does, you know. Try to come up with this nice, definite, nice, you know, rounded phrase that nails it. And boy, that doesn't work, does it? It just does not work. It's demonstrated, and I think that chapter there in Hebrews demonstrates that it's demonstrated. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most unbelievable things is how people can miss the identity of Christ. Now, I've been on this a lot, but I'm going to get back on it. And the Bible is so clear as to who Christ is. It's clear. Now, I was thinking about a scripture this morning that's in the first chapter of Hebrews. And anyway, it says God is speaking, and he's talking about Christ, and here's what God says in this state. I think it's verse 8, maybe. It says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And we know he's talking about Christ. Well, if God calls him God, he's God. If God calls Charlie God, Charlie's God. But it's whatever God says that is what makes the difference. Because then as you follow on in verse 9 in the next few verses, then it says that he has given him the joy of gladness above his fellows. You know what I'm saying? If we continue on with the next verses, we know that he's talking about Jesus Christ, the man. And who's like us? He's going to have experience this joy that is above anything that we can experience. And so then, here we have the Apostle Paul. Or John. It doesn't matter which one, but here's the Apostle Paul. And he comes along, and it's like he starts giving us some clear pictures of who Christ is. And he makes this statement. He's talking to Timothy in the second chapter of Timothy. And he says in verse 4, he says, God's will is that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I quoted that scripture to a fellow that believed that because it says God's will is for all men to be saved, all men will be saved. If that's God's will. Out of context. That is not what that is says. But it says God's will is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. Mr. Book writer who wrote, you know, this Bible dictionary. Okay. What do you do with this verse? God's will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth for, meaning because, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What do you do with that? I'll tell you what you do. Just what I did for years. Tell me, what did I do? I ignored it. The safest way to get out of trouble is ignore it. Pretend it isn't even in there. And then I made the mistake in this morning. I started to say this, so I'll go on with it. To get into about tongues. And it was only, you know, that it was only for a time period right at the time of the first church. And it's because it introduced, I mean, there were a lot of people there that couldn't understand their language, so they spoke in tongues, and then that way they preached to the other people that understood other things. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound good? The problem is the rest of the scriptures. And Paul, he didn't speak in tongues, but he got filled with the Spirit. But he said in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Why did he do it? Disobedience? So anyway, but the humanity of Christ is saturated, and this is a thing that people don't understand. If your mindset is on something else, you'll never see it. But if you're open like a little child and you read the scriptures to learn rather than to prove, you will find it. And that is what has happened to this old guy. My mindsets have been changed. And I love it. I tell you what, I had the privilege of taking Jim to work for a number of days and picking him up at night. And you know what the conversation is? This. This is the ongoing conversation. You know what? I love it. And that's why I do it. And Dominic, I've taken him to school a number of times, and now the tide has turned. He's going to be taking me to school. He's got a driver's license. And he has a few times. But you know what I love? I love the conversation. The openness to talk about things that are out of the scriptures rather than trying to prove something. I spent years with my commentaries and my research materials and all of these things, and I did it in this church, and I repent and I apologize. I looked up outdated fables out of people's heads, and I went by what they had, and you know, I'd go through the commentaries, and I had 3 or 4 sets, and I probably still have them somewhere. And they build good fires. But I have them somewhere, but I would go through these things, and I'd be trying to work on a message, and I'd set them all down. I'd have this one, and this one, and this one. I'd have them all set up, and I'd read. And this one didn't agree with this one didn't agree. And I thought, what am I doing reading them? They don't agree with each other anyway. The best way is to go by one. Remember what Don Burnett said about counselors out in Seattle years ago? He said, only go by one counselor. Remember that? Because you're not going to find two that agree with each other. And I thought, some help this is. That's a lot of help. You know what I told people here? I said, only go by one counselor. Because I knew if you go by two, you're going to get something different from each one. You know what? It's better not to go by any of them and to take this. This is the thing that directs our path. This is the thing that gives us the thoughts and the ways of God that God wants imputed into us. And when it happens, after we have enough of this in us, we will begin to become partakers of God's divine nature. I want it.
It's good to see Barb.
I'm walking.
We heard that you wasn't doing so good.
Well, that's what happens when you get older and you fall down. You get hurt. Last week I was thinking about this testimony, and it seems to be continuing this week, so I thought I'd better get up and give it before I lose it. I'm one of those that I didn't have confidence in being able to learn, or that the Lord would teach me through the Bible or anything like that. So I would listen to everybody else. I'd pick up every book I could because my desire was, you know, to learn more about the Lord and to receive what I could, but I didn't think He would directly teach me. So I did that. Then when Keith came in and he said, this is going to be it. No more anything else. And I thought, oh boy, how am I going to learn now? You know. And I was kind of upset. To tell the truth, I didn't come for a while because I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't think God would do it to me. Well, I started reading, and slowly He started speaking to me, and I didn't realize it was happening. While it was happening, yeah. Now I have no desire whatsoever to pick up another book that somebody else has written or anything. And that's, you know, their belief. I want my belief. And then last week, when testimonies were coming and stuff, I wrote this down. And it's like a sidestep when you're going to these other people to learn. But if you have available the original, why do you want to take a sidestep?
Glory.
So, you know, yeah. You can receive directly from the source. Why do you want to go through a second or third party and take a chance on not getting it all correct? So when we listen to others through books and tapes and try to adapt to what they say, it distracts us. It doesn't give us what we need. Because the truth is sitting there waiting. So if we can get from the Holy Spirit, it's much better than taking that sidestep.
Yes.
So that's what God's done for me.
Yes.
Bear with me just a bit. In 2 Chronicles 1, I'm going to read probably from 8 down a little bit. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast shown great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in a multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge thy people that is so great? And God responded to Solomon, saying, Because this is in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies, neither has yet has asked long life, but has asked how wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had before thee, neither shall there be after thee like granted unto Solomon. So I heard that, and that stuck with me. And then I jump ahead to Ecclesiastics. Get in Ecclesiastics 1. And let's give me a moment, see if I can find the exact verse. I'll start in 13. Ecclesiastes 1:13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail God has given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Skipping down to chapter 2, I said in mine heart, Go, and now I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and mirth, what doeth? The point I'm trying to make here is, following up with Glenn, it said, and this has really set me free. And we talk about it, we come back to it a lot, so I guess it's still important. It's important for me to know that I am not going to figure this out. It is not me. God said, this is the wisest man, King Solomon. King Solomon applied all of his human abilities to try and figure this out and declared it madness. The brightest man, according to God, said, can't be done. Well, who am I? So, you do it by faith, and you do it by listening. I have a little testimony that I haven't shared because it's not really flattering, but those are some of the best kinds to hear. When I was early on in this church, and I saw several things that were wrong, let me tell you, you folks were really off base. And I knew it, because I was a sharp guy. Just ask me. Something was said, I don't know, something was brought, and it bothered me to the point that it drove me to the Bible, which was a big thing in those days. And so I had set up in my mind that I was going to come in and waylay the eldership and the pastor, because this was just really wrong. I spent 2 hours trying to find scripture to support what I thought. Couldn't get there. It was not possible. It was like the words were changing in front of me. Like I remember something, and I got done, and I said, you know, I started out with a wrong heart, and I tried to take the word to mean something to make me right and not let God be God. This was way, way, way back before we really made mistakes. I mean, this was early in my walk. And the good thing about that, and my reason for sharing that, is, well, God showed me that, you know, I would be best served listening to Him. Now, back then, through others, and not seeking myself, which, you know, the revelation has come that that's just said, you know, why do you want the imitation when you can have the original? And why do you want to dilute God? Yeah. Not that what God gives you is delusion, but it isn't necessarily God for you. And as we said, you can't argue the experience. I mean, you can try, but if you know what you know, because God has done it in your heart, and you know, the enemy cannot come in to deceive you, because you have to give it up. You have to just deny what God gave you for the enemy to take that ground back. And if you know it, and God did it, and God did it in your heart because you're listening to Him, you're standing on the rock. And the enemy cannot take you off that rock. He can try, as long as you keep letting God do it. I mean, and to me, this whole thing about trying to figure things out myself, now, not as an excuse. Does it mean I'm not given the free pass and I don't seek? But to me that's as freeing a revelation as acknowledging that I'm not required to save the lost. I'm just required to be the vessel to help those who have a ear to hear, that I become the voice they can hear. And that has made a big difference in my walk.
Yes.
Okay, by faith. I confess I was downstairs cleaning, and I didn't catch everything, but I came in on the end of Glenn talking about faith. So faith is really good. I highly recommend it. God is so good, and He even likes me. And I say that in the way that sometimes you think, oh, you know, I did this, I did that, you know, God's not, you know, I mean, I'm the last person that He's even going to deal with. Plus, I've got all these problems. And you begin to lose faith. But slowly, we get more and more faith. We hear the Bible, we read the Bible, we listen to the testimonies, but most importantly, we listen to God. And that's what He's been doing in me, is all of a sudden, I don't know if anybody watches NCIS, where the nozo slap on the back of the head, that's kind of what God did to me. He's like, hello. And that's where He opened my eyes, going, okay, you have a condition. And you've had it for so long. How about we approach it maybe from a different perspective on maybe talking to somebody about nutrition and maybe your body, the chemicals in your body. Even though I created you the way you are, we can work around things. And it was the perfect timing that God said, go to the Be Natural lady. And I did. And it's been just eye-opening for me. He's changed my eating. I'm feeling better. I have more self-confidence. It's not because of the Be Natural lady. It's because the Lord has been working in me and showing me there's different things. Didn't somebody once say it takes a village to raise a baby? Well, in my case, it takes a church to help me out. And it's through all the prayers and stuff. So I just have to give God the glory, because it's God who's been, I have been surrounded. I have sought prayer and deliverance, and I thank God for that. It's still alive and well, so don't ever stop to think that you guys can't get rid of something that's there. So seek that out. I've sought eating differently, and a lot of that you're going to find in the Bible, how they ate. You know, they didn't have a lot of McDonald's back then. So, but most importantly is He has just given me strength beyond strength. And I have been, my world has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And the basic bottom line of this whole thing is I rode to Stanley with just Corky and my mother-in-law. I haven't been able to get off the block with just Corky at times. And it's like God is just giving me more and more freedom. And it's because I listen. And you have to listen to him because he is talking to us. And that's the most important part, is that sometimes we sit there with our fingers and our ears going, because there's nothing, nobody, nothing, I can't, no, 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 no. And God's going, hello, listen to me. I have just been blessed. I have a wonderful group of ladies that pray for me on Tuesday. I have a lot of things coming up for me. I think as many of you know that I was molested as a child, that the uncle is going on trial December 7th, and the people would like me to be there. And I'm going, you know, I want to go. I want to go. Go with God. You know, that's how I feel. So I know this is probably disjointed, but I'm so excited about what God's doing in my life. And I know that if Sue Berger was here and we'd be talking about it, I'd be saying, don't give a testimony because then you're going to have a bad day. And then Sue would remind me going, that does not how it works, because that's how I would remind her. Because giving glory to God is always worth anything. So I thank you for all your prayers. I thank you for praying for me. I thank you for sticking by me. But more importantly, I thank the Lord for never giving up on me.
Glory.
Okay.
You know, I just realized after trying to get up four times that there was an answer to a request. And it's been said by a couple, but I know either last week I think I said, you know, more people have to get up and share and glory. Oh, that's that. Mm-hmm. See, because it doesn't even matter if you say the same thing. It's the fact that you, who are not the other, is saying it. And it's a testimony to God that he is working in his people. You know, I was thinking, here's the thing that makes Jesus Christ so unique. If God, his Father, said you are a God to one of us, say, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be going around telling people I'm God. Jesus Christ wouldn't do that. He didn't do that. You know, that's the difference. Yeah. I mean, so based on that, and the fact that he was the only begotten Son, I heard a scripture, and it just excited me somewhat. And it was in Galatians. And I don't know why, it just opened up an aspect. So he is the only begotten Son. And I thought, how could he walk on this earth and not sin and not give in to temptation? I mean, I can't still comprehend it. But what was encouraging is in Galatians 4:6, it says, and you have to let this sink in, and I want to embrace this because I feel like I've been short citing myself, maybe, or whatever. I haven't been open. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, the only begotten Son, into your heart. You know what that's saying?
Yes.
That's saying you have tremendous potential to be just like Christ. All of a sudden I went, are you kidding me? You know? And then after hearing it, I keep going, are you kidding me? And you still think and act like you do? Yeah. So that's something that's got to be worked on, of course. But the hope is there.
Yeah.
I mean, that if you take it, if that's true, you just got to let in your own heart and mind, let that settle in for whatever that can do for you, you know. And I'm going to do the same. So then I was reading in places, and every once in a while I look to see, and it'll give a reference, you know, to something, a scripture setting that was used from the Old Testament and whatever. Where I'd been reading, I read 1 and 2 Samuel just for the heck of it last week and whatnot, because I wanted to try to figure out some things about how certain things developed. Well, then this morning, it was talking about in Genesis, and I was thinking, I don't know why it got brought up, something about Joseph. And I saw a setting there about Joseph that I'd read it, you know, the book, I'd read Genesis before, but this really just stood out. In fact, the whole thing, it's funny, when you go, and you're well, I know you're aware of this, but when you go back and read things now, there is so much more color, you know, where it was black and white before, it's colored. And now think about Joseph. Now, does he have a reason to be bitter to his brothers? You know the story, right? I mean, they took and they tried to kill him, and they threw him in a pit, left him for dead. So here's what I'd never read before. I read where Joseph had his, they came, and he treated him right and ended up. But here, just listen to this testimony. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, obviously, because they're going, "Oh my goodness, this is the guy." But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Now I want you to think about all the things that have happened in this church and in your life, okay, that are not good. "But now do not therefore..." Okay, "For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord over all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. Therefore I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine.'" But, you know, before this, or maybe it's right, I mean, he was weeping over his brothers. I mean, that's what we got to have. Because you know what? People are going to come back. And there can't be any animosity. And you know what? I can honestly say, I know God had me go through that move and everything before and after that for a good reason. For one, it's taught me tremendously. And not to want to run from mistakes and hide and be ashamed. And maybe you are for a while. But you know, if you stay and let God work it out in you, you will greatly benefit, you know? Yeah. And so, that is one of the things that's on my heart to present to people, is just what Oh, boy, talk about old age. Barb said, Barb, you know, you can 2 minutes ahead or before know the name, and then when you go to say it, lose it. But what Barb shared, see, that is the epitome of what this is about.
Yes.
That, I mean, I will present that, I hope, for the rest of my life. Because I know who I am. I'm just a little old guy that didn't have a lot. Dude thought he's a lot sometimes. But knowing that he's really not, you know. And that God said, I will teach you. I mean, that is an amazing thing. But if you're wise and lifted up, you won't hear that message. You know? And your heart won't be changed. I mean, and then I tell you, it's amazing, and I don't know, I might come to the point where I may have to share, I may start with a small group, but it's amazing, though, how we can be receiving all this and still be lacking. And I'm talking about myself. And still, it's like, you know, God delivered me of a certain thing that was major. Been in my life since I was probably 13, 14. And then it's like, but then all of a sudden this other thing crept back in. You know, and it's like, why? You know, so you know what it is? Because there's still a root, and it has to be pulled up. It really has to get dealt with, you know? And what, sorry to say, it's been on my mind lately, what Sue said, Susan, deliverance is still a viable ministry. And I think I'm probably going to have to partake of it, you know. But, you know, you got to wait till you feel like God's made you ready, you know, because, and whatever. But, yeah, and, you know, and I don't want to try to think. Here's the thing that's really settled in me, too. I do not want to look back on anything we've done and think it has to be done that way. Deliverance may be a ministry that's still there, but let's not think we know how to do it till we actually do it and are led by the Lord to do it. Because it may be a whole different aspect. I mean, it might happen, but it may be by a whole different avenue or a tool or whatever you want to say. You know, I just, because, man, I've seen how God can just, he just don't go by the thoughts of man, you know. And you know, when you stop and think, yeah, it's how, you know, in a way the Jews thought that Jesus was trying to be a Trinity. You know, they said, well, you make yourself equal with God. But you know what? That wasn't their biggest problem. Their biggest problem was they just couldn't accept that this guy was the actual answer, because they were so caught up in being legal. Legal, legal, legal. We're doing the right thing. So much that we even kind of forgot who God was. You know, and they did. I mean, because otherwise they would have saw what he was doing in front of them, you know. And so it's, yeah, and then that's, I can't believe that a guy actually came up with that. That he said, yeah, they found a way, what you shared, Keith, about knowing that the Jews knew there was only one God. Oh, so then what, did we just wipe that out? You know, it's, and then, they slowly worked it in. Come on! I mean, now, you know, it just, and I don't know what you say. I mean, to somebody like that, you probably don't say anything. And that's an amazing thing, too, that I keep in the back of my mind. I may get in a situation where you could have a discussion with the Scripture, but if it turns into an argument, or may hopefully before that, God will somehow put on me, shut up. Don't say anymore. Don't say anything. Take it, whatever they throw, walk away. You know, because sometimes it's just a waste, and it may drive them actually deeper into what they stand for by you coming against it, you know, where if you just walk away and let God convict, you know, work on their heart. I mean, we really got to keep, and maybe, you know, that's the problem too, that I have to be careful. I'm so concerned about not being led and doing it on my own that hopefully you don't just keep sitting back either and then not hear the little prodding and feeling the prodding of the Lord to do. But been pretty, tried to be pretty open to that and look for when doors open up where you can tell the conversation could happen, you know. So, and that's a part of this listening and God's making us sensitive, you know, to knowing what His Spirit wants to do. And it's hard to think that you don't have to go out and win the world today, you know. And some churches can't live with that. That's just unacceptable. You know, but we've seen, I mean, I stop and think now and I see all the time, nobody's heard the true gospel. We just started hearing the true gospel. And most of it is the very beginning is based on the very fact of who Jesus Christ is.
Yes.
That is the gospel.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, if you don't have who He is, how can you... how can you die with Him? How can you be raised up in His resurrection, you know? For one, if he's not a man, then He can't be raised. Then He can't die. Then He can't do any of this. But it says that He did, you know? And that's when you have to start just, yeah, I'm going to believe that because I hear God and I know He's saying it. And I don't care if 10 million other people on this earth are saying something different, you know? Because He is going to have His effect. And if there's 3 trillion people on earth and there's a remnant, that probably could mean a billion, you know, which is a lot. So there's a lot to be reached.
I just want to share a testimony. Before I get into that, I want to what Barb said. That was, I mean, if you can come to that realization, you're in a fast track to salvation. Really, you know what I mean? And you know, is when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you and teach you into all truth, all truth. And what man has tried to do, not purposely, but they want to be the Holy Spirit. They want to be the teachers and the guiders. And I saw wrong. Why do we want to do what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do? When we try to do that, then we come with all these counselors. They don't agree with each other.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's just amazing. And you only come to that realization by the Holy Spirit, not by a man telling you that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. The last couple of weeks, maybe longer, I don't know, but I felt horrible. Just horrible. I had a headache, dizzy, and I couldn't even listen to people talk. I couldn't understand nothing that anybody was saying. My stomach was just constant going to the bathroom, really. And horrible feeling everywhere. It was just a disaster feeling. I couldn't work correctly. I couldn't put long hours. I couldn't get up in the morning. It would take me forever to get to work because I was sick. And it would go on and off, but it would be more on. And then I thought several times, I thought, I can't go hunting. I mean, if I feel like this, I cannot go hunting. I'm going to have to tell my kids and my son-in-law and everybody that goes hunting with me, we are not going hunting. And I prayed and Candy prayed and Ken prayed for me and Keith and I prayed and prayed. And I prayed ahead and nothing was changing. And I didn't want to, but I was getting upset at God. I was. I was like, I didn't want to really, but it's like I'm doing everything I know what to do to get my prayers answered. I mean, if there's anything that else that I need to do, I will do it so I can get my prayers answered. And that was especially the Friday before I went hunting. I couldn't sleep. I slept zero before hunting season. I was just horrible. So I did pray and pray and pray, and then God did lift up my symptoms on Saturday, so I was able to hunt. But, they come back. And anyway, so just horrible, just one of the probably the worst times ever in my life, you know, for a long time. And they were building up, and I was thinking, but, you know, they were gradually building up, and I would have them off and on. And anyways, so I just keep praying. You know, but they're kind of losing hope, really. But just keep praying. God told Noah, he said, I'm going to flood the earth, build an ark. And if I would have been Noah, I would have been said, you build the ark, I get in it. because you are God, right? Because why? Just save me. I don't have. Just why do I have to build? I don't know how many years it was working, but I would have said, God, you do it. You do it. You're God. Why do I have to build? Why do I have to work? You know, just save me, without doing anything. And as I kept praying, I had different symptoms, more symptoms that were different. Then I realized my prayer was answered, and what the answer of my prayer was is like I am not taking care of my body like God wants me to take care of my body. If I am a temple, or if the Holy Spirit is to be inside me, I am not doing to it. What God wants me to do to it, not only where I go, but where I put in me, you know what I mean, or what my eyes can see. It's not what God wanted me to do. And I'm overweight, but one of the reasons, you know, I just eat, you know, too much sugar and blah blah blah. Anyways. What how God answered my prayer, he says, Pablo, you need to take care of your body. Because let's say God takes my symptoms away. Let's say God takes my headaches away, my stomach pains away, my digestion is free. Let's say he does that. What would I keep doing? I would just keep not taking care of my body and doing stupid stuff. So God wants me, you know, like Noah, instead of, you do it, Lord. He wants me to do what is right for this temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm starting a process of a very strict diet, and I have to get some vitamins and stuff. But I'm already feeling so. I'm not 100% even right now. I'm a little in my head because, but it's, I've had, you know, 80% of the day with feeling good, and. So I am thankful that God did answer my prayer, but he did not answer it like I wanted to. But I realized, like he answered it, is how it needed to be answered. And just even though we have a God that can do anything, he's given me the opportunity to fill my body with his spirit, and I have to take care of that body. I cannot expect to go and tell someone about God and the Holy Spirit and all the wonderful things of this word, if while I'm doing it, I'm not taking care of the body that God gave me. You know, to be more specific, I mean, I can imagine Jesus, when he was in the Last Supper, you know, stuffing his face with meat and lots of bread. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. For you know, to be a glutton, you know, to be a glutton is just, and by being a glutton, it's as bad as being any other sin, and then your body goes crazy. Anyways, you know, and all my life I've had an issue of overeating. But anyways, I'm at the end of the day, I'd like to be prayed for that I can keep, that God helps me with taking care of my body. I need His help to take care of my body, not just to put me in the ark. I need God to help me build the ark.
Yeah.
And God does different miracles in different ways, but in this case, you know, He gave me the understanding of the ark that I need to build the ark, which is my body, and you know, and He will save me. But anyway, so I hope I was clear. Amen.
Well, Pablo, if I would have started working on the ark when I was a year old, I would still only be about 3/4 full, finished with it. That's how long it took to build that ark. We have been listening to the scriptures for 15, 16 years. I don't know. I get a little bit foggy as far as even how long it's been. And anyway, in a way, this is an ark that's being built. In a way, it is an ark. And Glenn and Barb, after your testimonies today, don't let time go by without some more. You both hit some real major areas, and faith is a replacement for the sacrifices. Faith is a replacement. It replaced sacrifices. And then Barb hit the thing. You know, when I heard a voice, the voice said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. That's what it said. This is pretty close to what I heard. Well, anyway, I tell you what, Barb, it took me a while to get to the place where I knew not to look to something else. It took me a little while. And then you hit that thing right on the head this morning. If you want to find God, don't look through my theories. Don't look through my philosophies. Don't look through my past teachings. Don't look anywhere. You've got one place. You want to find me? You got to look for me where I am. But what I didn't realize is it took the Holy Spirit to reveal Him. And I'm not even sure who spoke to me anymore. I'm under the impression now that Jesus Himself is the one that said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Because you know what we found? We found Jesus. We found the Son of God, not God the Son. We found the one that, you know what, and by finding Him, you find God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. If you would have known me, you would have known my Father also. You know what we did in John 14:9, where he said, you know, he has seen me, has seen the Father. What we don't realize, okay, we look at that verse and a lot of people say, well, what he's saying here is that He is God. But what we don't realize is how many other times He said the same thing in some form and we missed it. Like the one I just quoted out of John 8:46, I think. I'm not sure exactly, but he says, if you would have known me, you would have known my Father also. Isn't that kind of saying the same thing? It took me a while before I realized what I heard. Don't listen to anything else. Don't listen to anybody else. Turn them off. When we got filled with the Holy Spirit, we're in the Lutheran Church in Seattle. I was Lutheran. I taught Lutheranism. I was a bona fide, full-blooded, or full-fledged Lutheran. You know what the Lord did? I was teaching this, you know, a Sunday school class, the kids the size of Dominic and Eli in that area, And I started out with six, and I started teaching out of the Bible. Within a month, I had 20. And they were all excited. And I was excited because the Bible was coming alive. I was excited. They were, you know, things were happening. And so now the pastor's excited. We got this large class, and these kids, they're coming. They love it. So now they sent in and got the curriculum. Biggest thing the Lord ever did. He gave me this curriculum to teach. I was teaching just out of the Bible. He gave me this curriculum to teach out of, and I looked at it, and the first item on it, it says we can no longer accept this fallacy of the virgin birth. Fallacy. I looked at it, and I remember Joanne and I, and I got sick to my stomach. The whole foundation of Christianity is established on that, on the virgin birth. And there was a number of other things. That was the worst. There was other things like it. And I went to the pastor, and he's a sweetheart. And anyway, I said, I can't teach this. If you want somebody else to teach it, you'll have to have somebody else. And he looked at it, and he said, I wouldn't teach it either. And he threw it in the garbage. And that was a kind of a sweetheart that he was. Well, anyway, you know what that did? That curriculum, guess what it did? It separated me from the Lutheran doctrine. It turned me totally over to the Word of God. That's what happened, Barb. I turned over to the Word of God. And the next thing I knew, we saw things happen. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw major healings, and lots of people. We witnessed that. We're full of the Holy Ghost. I'd call Joanne up. I'd be at work, and I'd say, why don't you call so-and-so and see if they're busy tonight? We'll go over and see them. So we got a babysitter. Don't believe it. We didn't. We took the kids with us. Six of them. And we went here and there and here. And you know what? Every place we went, it was like an open door. People were open. People got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because we were living in this. In an immature state. Not anything like we are hoping for. I want to grow up and I want to become a Christian. Well,
if you have something you want to share, otherwise I will.
I really like hearing all the stuff that's going on. It's really a blessing to come here and hear all of this, you know. The one theme that I kind of picked up on, and it's relevant to me, is your physical condition. You know, I just started a new job a couple months ago, and it's very difficult. And my body isn't used to using certain muscle groups. You know, I've been out of work for most of the summer. And then I had to start riding my bike up there, which I'm used to using those muscles. But, you know, once I get there, I got to work for 12 hours straight, you know, 4 days a week. It's pretty grueling and pretty brutal, but I've been giving the supernatural grace to handle it, you know. And one of the things that I found that works is listening to the Word of God. If I can... I don't know how to describe it. You know, I'm going to try to do the best I can. In the book of Acts, it talks about the people believing. I mean, they wanted to be healed, okay? And they knew that God could heal them. And they knew that Peter and John and those guys were all men of God, you know? So in their desperation and in their faith, some of them believed that if they could just get in the street, you know, and at the right angle when the sun was out, if Peter's shadow would kind of pass over them, you know, that would be enough and they'd be healed. Well, I don't know if it necessarily says that they were healed in the book of Acts, but I choose to believe that they were. Because God has given us that tool, you know. That ability, it's more than just that faith, you know. I was talking to Keith the other week, and I'm I'm of the personal opinion that faith is a part of us. It's a living part of us. It's alive. Your faith, by faith they understand. So, and your faith is like a perceptual instrument in the spirit. You know, there's no other way that you can perceive the spirit or spiritual things unless you believe. And if you choose to believe from your heart, then the door flies open and you all of a sudden you understand stuff and you get revelation and there's healing and all kinds of good stuff happens, you know. But faith is a part of you. It's a living, it's a dynamic part of you. It's not just something that you stand there and you go, well, I have faith, you know, because I'm a Lutheran or I'm a this or a that, you know. That's a dead thing, you know. And that doesn't make things happen. I mean, faith changes your behavior. It's like Glenn was saying, you know. They don't all kinds of stuff because of faith, because they choose to believe. Well, anyways, you know, back to my testimony, I would come home and, man, for the first couple of weeks of my job, I didn't know if I was going to make it. I broke my back in a rock climbing accident about 25 years ago, and it hurts, you know. The docs, I mean, they were amazed. They let me out of the hospital like a week after I'd fallen. And they were all wowed by that, and so was I. You know, I was really a week. I mean, I had a broken back. I mean, I had two broken ribs, a dislocated shoulder. One of my lungs was collapsed. I had a big hole in my butt. I was pretty messed up, and they let me go after a week. Now, I think their decision was based on the fact that I was out of work and didn't have any money, so they didn't want me taking up a bed space. But, you know, all that aside, I mean, I was amazed. I thought, I should be dead, you know, really. Well, okay, we're doing life, and fast forward to now, I'm doing my new job. There's a lot of lifting. I have to lift, you know, 50-pound sacks of plastic pallets and throw them in these big barrels periodically, regularly. I have to walk a long distance. A lot of times I run because I want to get stuff done. You know, it's and I have to do a lot of twisting and turning, and you know, the only thing that really saves me on that job is I have to do a whole bunch of data entry, and it takes like, I don't know, at least a couple hours of sitting in front of the computer. Yeah, I'm like a jack in the box. I mean, every time an alarm bell rings, I have to jump out of my chair and run over there, fix the machine, and then run back and try to figure out what I was doing. You know, but I can handle it. You know, at the end of a day like that, though, you know, it's all I can do to make it in the door. You know, I mean, my first couple of weeks, I was sore, my back was sore, and I thought, you know, I really hate to do this because I think God has set me up with this, but I'm gonna have to tell Him, man, I'm just not physically able to do it. You know. So I'd put the Word of God on and I'd pray and I'd lay there and I would just take deep breaths and I would say to Him, I'd go, Lord, your Word is life to me and it's healing. It's real and I believe in it. And you know what needs to be done and you know the course that my life, your life should take. And so I'm just going to, you know, take it day by day. And if I can get out of bed tomorrow and get on my bike and go, then that's what I'm going to do. And so we went. I really wondered. I mean, there was a space of time when I thought, am I going to make it? I mean, is this my last week? Is this my last day? Well, I'm still there, you know. And I've become stronger. My back still bothers me after, you know, work. And I feel it when I use it, you know, twisting and stuff like that. It's a weak point in me, but I'm able to handle it. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is I believe it's because I believe. You know, it's because of my faith. I kept on doing something that was deleterious to my body. It was hurting me, and I kept doing it because I believed that the Lord would give me the capability to stay at it. And that He would sustain me and maintain me whilst I was doing this thing that was deleterious to my body. And He's done that. He's made me stronger. And He did this from a point where I was, I don't know where the faith begins and He starts or where I end and where He begins. I really don't. But, you know, I was at a point where I knew that He could do it. But I thought, if you don't, then I'm going to have to leak out, you know. We got to that point, and He took me past it, you know, because I chose to believe. And, yeah, I still ache when I get done with my day and stuff. But like I said, I'm stronger. I'm better. I'm just, it's a miracle. It's a real miracle. I mean, I shouldn't even be able to walk, you know, with a broken back. Most people that break their backs, they never walk again. That really scared me in the hospital when I woke up. That was one of the first things the doctor said. They go, well, we're not sure if you'll be able to walk ever again. I mean, that just, whoa, that really freaked me out. I was not prepared for that at all, and I really prayed about it. But it's a miracle. And it's a miracle because of this, because of God's word, you know. I was thinking just the other day when I was at work, I was kind of imagining, you know, whether, you know, myself, like, in the future, and people at work, you know, people that I know or whatever, coming up to me and saying, well, you know, we never saw you like this before, but now you're doing these things, these signs and these wonders are happening in Jesus' name, and, you know, what's going on? How did you get to this place? And what would I say to them? And I already know what I'm going to say, because I listen to them. You know, how come you're so tight with God? Well, because I listen to Him. You know, He loves to be listened to. And people, yes. People don't do that. They get in this word and they're not ears at all. They're all brains, you know. They want to figure stuff out. They want to justify this behavior. They want to win this argument. They want to further their own organization or they want to, I don't know what they want to do, man, but they don't want to listen. And that's what He wants us to do. He craves people to just listen to Him, you know. Give Him the time of day. I mean, if He wants to bend your ears, stop what you're doing, sit down, and let Him, you know. Give Him your time. We tend to think doing that, like with old people and people that are infirm or in need or whatever, you know. Well, your Father is like that, you know. He needs your attention. And He loves it when you just don't say anything. Don't think anything. You have no agenda. You just want to sit and listen to what He has to say. There's so many times in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament. I haven't even tried the Old Testament, you know, because of that reason. But I mean, there's so many things in the New Testament when they come up, I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't get this. I don't get this at all. I didn't get it the first time I heard it. I've heard it 6 zillion times, and I'm still not getting it. And I'm not going to get it unless you explain it to me, okay? I tend to get kind of frustrated with them sometimes over these issues. But that's just on a personal note, you know. It doesn't wreck my relationship with Him or anything. And He's showing me the value of, you know, He says that you got to abide in Me, and I got to abide in you. That means stay. So that means I can't just listen to the Word of God once a day or once a week or whatever, but I have to stay in it. And if I stay in it, He's going to stay in me, and we're going to continue growing together. You know, that's how it's done. That's why, you know, that it's really necessary. Ken mentioned that, you know, unless you keep at this, you know, unless you keep, here's what I call it. I call it exposing my spirit to God's Word. I keep exposing my spirit, and that's what I think of when I get to these parts that I don't get. You know, there's so many little things. He'll mention something, and I mean, it'll be so off the wall, and I'll just shake my head, and I'll go, I don't get it, but okay, I'm going to take it in, and I'm going to expose myself to it, because the point of listening to God's Word is not so that I'll get it. The natural man understands not things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You know, I'm probably going to have that tattooed on my forehead. Because I get all worked up and wound around the axle about stuff, you know. And I don't get it, and I want to get it. I'm curious, you know, and I feel like I'm being submissive, and you know, I'm telling them, I don't understand. Will you explain it to me? I am not getting this. I think of myself trying to explain it to somebody, you know, some unbeliever or somebody come up to me, and they come up to me with a story out of the Bible that I don't understand. What am I going to tell them? I'm going to tell him the truth. I don't get it either. You know, he hasn't shared the meaning with me, so your guess is as good as mine, you know. But what I'm doing here is I'm not training my natural mind with answers like the Bible answer stand. I'm exposing my spirit to my Father's words, all right? And this book is not, I used to call it the Bible, you know. These are my Father's words, man. These are the words my Father is speaking to me through His Son. This is not the Bible. This is not some man-made book. that a bunch of guys just threw together. It may look like that, and they may tell you that's what it is, but it's not. It's alive. It's spirit. It's a substance that's not from this world, and it's meant to make us different in this world. They're your Father's words to you. They're spoken from your elder brother. It's not the Bible, all right? That's not what I think of it as anymore. They're my Father's words, and as such, they're pretty potent and pretty powerful, and we should be careful, you know? We should really be careful about drawing conclusions and going off all half-cocked and stuff. I still get tempted to do that, you know? I mean, do good for the kingdom, you know, because, well, gee, I'm in touch here, you know, and I feel like I'm in a position of power. No, we need to listen, okay? And I need to stay with this, all right? Because, you know what? Demons are real. There are such things as demons. They're spirits. You can't see them. And you need to battle them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places and so forth, you know. Our battles and all our dealings and stuff, they're in the spirit realm. And he's trying to help us out and protect us by getting us full of this word, his words, because God is spirit. He's spirit. And Jesus said these words that I'm talking to you, they're spirit and they're life. You know, this is your life. When I listen to the Word of God, man, it's my life. It's something that I have to have all the time. I have to have it like I have to have water. I have to have it like I have to have air. If you deprive me of air and water, I'm dead, all right? If you smash my CD player, take away all my Bibles, I don't know what I'd do. I'd freak really hard. I know that. You know, I have to have it. And, you know, the thing is, when I look at what he's doing to me, everybody needs to have this. Everyone needs to listen to God's word. You know, that's the most important thing. That's the first tradition that man ever had, was when Adam and Eve walked in the garden. They walked with God. They talked with him. They had communion. They were together, and there was nothing separating them. And they had this relationship. It was an interactive thing, you know. God said, well, okay, Adam, you name all the animals, you know, and whatever you name them, that's what they're going to be called. And he said, okay, well, so he started naming the animals and so on and so forth. You know, it was a beautiful relationship. And they messed it up, you know, but he's trying to get us back there. And that's a real simple thing. You don't have to be really intelligent to just hear what your father says and believe it and do it. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be smart. All you got to do is have your ear open and be ready, you know, to conform to what he wants. Because it's the best thing for you, okay? We have our ideas about what the best thing is for us, and I've had them for me. But when I started listening to my Father's word, you know, I know that he has my best interests at heart, even though at the moment, you know, it might not seem like it. But that's pretty much what I wanted to say.
Let's come up to the front and join in prayer. I want to make a comment on something Pablo said. That honesty, because I associated with what he said, and I'd like to say that Abraham got upset with God, and Moses got upset with God. And your father-in-law has got upset with God. And you meant to see, you got upset a little bit with God. You know what? Contrary to what that seems like, that is faith.
Yeah, it is.
If you didn't believe in God, you wouldn't get upset with him.
That's true.
Yeah, can't get mad at nothing.
And in our minds, we think that's a terrible thing. And I'm thinking,